Maar je weet nog waar we aanvallen en schieten.
De Mishne in de Dorim, Daf Samerdov, tells us about Maise Be'echot Shenodam Ibas Achoise Hanoyot. Person that took a vow, Rabbi Shmuel V'Yipur. They took her, brought her into the house of Rabbi Shmuel, and made her beautiful. He didn't want to have a Hanoyot from her because she was ugly, and Rabbi Shmuel made her beautiful. Brocha Uchshameis Rabbi Shmuel V'Yitira Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel was Matir Neder. He permitted the vow. He annulled the vow because he said you only made it because she was not pretty, and now she is. Uchshameis Rabbi Shmuel, when Rabbi Shmuel died, Hoyu B'nois Yisrael Noiseis Kina, the B'nois Yisrael raised their voices in mourning, the Umbrais and said, B'nais Yisrael, or Rabbi Yishmael Bechenu. Daughters of Israel, cry on Rabbi Yishmael. Bechen Umbra Beshol, B'nais Yisrael, El Shol Bechenu. Daughters of Israel, cry over Rabbi Naftali B'Rabneir HaLevi, Zuchinu Vrocha. He worked to find you shidduchim, he worked to see that you get a good Jewish education, he worked to help you achieve peace when there was strife in your homes. But not only daughters of Israel cry, Aniye Yisrael, Aram Naftali Bechenu. Let the poor cry over Rav Naftali. He helped you through difficult times. He raised money for you. He found you employment where no one else cared. Yisrael, Yisrael, Rav Naftali Bechenu. Let the bereaved, the orphans of Israel, cry over Rav Naftali. When their loved ones could not be buried because of government red tape, or because they had to undergo an autopsy, or because someone wanted to cremate them, Rav Naftali was there to help them to see to it that their loved ones were buried. Rabbi Naftali was not only there to help them, but to comfort them as well during their trying times. In one case, as I personally know, parents of a former student suddenly lost their son when they were far from home. They were in such shock that they could hardly fend for themselves. Rabbi Naftali took over, made arrangements for the funeral, and to add a note of comfort for the parents, who would feel comforted by the honor given their son, arranged for the state police to escort the Nifter to his final resting place. Chayle Yisrael, Bechen Rav Naftali, let the sick of Israel cry over Rav Naftali. Those with serious illnesses, who did not know where to turn at a moment of emergency. Only Rav Naftali arranged the top specialists in the field to treat them. Only he advised them which medical center was the best to deal with their problems. And as someone told me from his personal experience, he even arranged a helicopter to transfer to a better hospital when a patient cannot be easily moved. Let the Jewish communities all over the world cry over Rav Naftali. Without him, many of them would not exist or would be torn with such controversy that they would be the equivalent of non-existence. Rav Naftali, with his personality, his wisdom, kept them together. In Baltimore, we know, there is no machlekes, the various groups of Jews live harmoniously together, mostly because of Rav Naftali's mediation in times of strife. Everyone respected him. Everyone knew he meant Hashem Shemayim, that he wasn't operating for personal honor or advantage, and accepted what he had to say. I know of a community 1,000 miles from here which was undergoing a crisis which would have torn it apart. And Naftali flew in and met one of the rival sides for 20 minutes in the airport. And as a result of his advice, the community weathered the crisis and is now a flourishing hub of Judaism. This is one of the many communities whose Judaism was founded and directed by the genius of Lev Naftali. But the community that should cry most over Lev Naftali is the Iranian community. He was their spiritual father. He had the vision to rescue them at the last moment that it was possible to rescue them. And when no one else cared to take them in, he made a special program for them in this yeshiva and educated leaders, mechanchim, rabbis for this community, so that today whatever exists in the Iranian community in the United States is a result of Naftali's activities. Who should cry more for Reb Naftali than the Torah itself? Torah, Torah, Chigri Sak, Atevse Mishaytayich. Put on a sackcloth, Torah, for those who hold the rudders. Let the thousands of the pillars of Torah of the Jewish people cry for Reb Naftali. The Rashi Yeshiva, the Rabbonim, the Mechanchim, the community leaders in the United States, throughout the world. Let them cry, because the visionary who built Torah on these shores is no longer with us. And Naftali Neuberger spent every moment of his life, from the time of his adulthood, thinking about others, taking responsibility for the Jewish people, for the Torah, and studying Torah himself. What was the motivating factor behind all of this activity? Many people think he was simply a genius. He was clever, resourceful, energetic. He was able to establish connections in the halls of power in Washington and Wall Street. All of this is true. But none of this suffices to explain the unusual phenomenon of Reb Naftali Neuberger. There is a deeper explanation, and I think I know what it is. I saw the way tears came to his eyes when he spoke to me about what a privilege it was to be in this yeshiva, to bring so many Jewish souls close to Torah. I saw how he believed in davening, prayer, how when someone suggested a modification of the Kapitel Echtilim, the prayers that we say after davening for our brothers in Eretz Yisrael, how vehemently he objected. He said, how can we neglect the suffering of our brothers there? There's a common denominator to all of this. And this is the source of his power. He was a man of emunah, a man of faith. He had a pure emunah. And this emunah gave him the energy to work indefatigably. He had a munah, he had faith in Torah. He had a munah in prayer and davening. He had a munah in the special mission of the Jewish people. And he had a munah that without Torah, the Jewish people cannot survive. Building Torah was for him ensuring the survival of the Jewish people. He drew this emunah from his ancestry, from his German Jewish parents, who one of the few who had the foresight to send him away as a young man to study in the Polish yeshiva in Mir. He had this unadulterated emunah, and this gave him the integrity, the commitment, and the energy which enabled him to work without end. And all those who came into contact with him saw his emunah, sensed it, and saw the purity of his intentions, and had to join with him in whatever undertakings he pursued. The loss is enormous. There is only one nechama. He left an unusual family, all of whom, with their particular talents, but all of whom are imbued with his pure emunah. We look forward, they continue in his ways, particularly we look forward that his successor and son, Rabbi Shechter Neuberger, continue the work of his father and develop yeshiva and Torah Judaism in the United States and the world into future generations. Uvila amoves lanetzach, umocho adinoy elohim dimo me'al kuponim, v'neim ha'amen.
Mayreinu Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita.
Very difficult to speak when you lose someone who is so close to you. Everyone felt that he's close to you. And I was also asked the same question myself: how is a person zeicher to reach such a madrege? Mesus Shorim asked a shaila that we should have asked ourselves. It says in the last parasha, when the Rabbeinu Shalom created man, he first just make a form, and Vayipa Be'akov Nishmas Chaim. Asked the Mesus Shorim, Why did he create that form? He could have created right away. There's a man, there's a goof, and there's a neshama. Why didn't he put the neshama right away in? That's what he asks. It's a question that we should ask ourselves after we see it. And he says and he explains, and he classifies the goof of Odom. He says, Ochu Amos. Ochu Amos. The goof itself, he says, is Ochu Amos. And a person has to work out to make from this Ochu Amos, together with the neshama, he has to create a man in a different form. He has to make a man out of him. It's a great task. And he says that he could make of himself till the Pelpe Dababoy. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Rabbeinu Shalom Pelpe. This, there's a group, as he calls it, a group, Ocho Amos, and he can come to Madrege as Pelpe Dababoy. Rabbeinu Shalom Ret, with Moshe Rabbeinu Pelpe. And I think it should have brought the Medrash in the previous parsha, when the Rabbeinu Shalom sent to take away the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, so first he sent a Malchum Oves, then he sent a Malach, and it didn't work. Moshe Rabbeinu chased him away. Says the Rabbeinu Shalom came himself, and he spoke to the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, "Neshama, Moshe Rabbeinu, neshama, neshama, come out, and I'll put you back from where you came from." Wouldn't the neshamas come? It's a chaskise kovetz chesova logo beres sarova. The neshamas come. It's a chaskise akovaid. And the Rabbeinu Shalom says to the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, "Come out, and I'll put you back where you were born, where you come from." What could it be more than that? Rabbeinu Shalom, the neshama told the Rabbeinu Shalom, because I'm very happy where I am. That's the Neshama itself, Meshach Rabbeinu. That means that the Neshama that's in Meshach Rabbeinu, Chazal tell us that the Ovo is saying in Amakova, there's a Mokim, the Neshama didn't come out, Noshkota, kissed the Neshama, came out, that's the Neshama came out with a kiss from the Rabbeinu Shalom. Hashem had to pull it out. We see the Madrege that the Neshama wanted to be in the goof of Moshe Rabbeinu. So be yochel where it comes from. Mitachas kisa akovet chesova. So a person could become, that's what he could make of himself. The question is still, how does a person make himself that? The Mishus HaSholem says in the first parak that Machay Vosei Bayolamai, what a person is supposed to do, what is the chayv of a person, and he comes out that Kirvas HaVekim L'Toiv, person has to want to be close to Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the tachlis of a person. Question is, if that is the tachas of a person, it says in the Mishnah, Afir kabodim ha-meshamshim es-harab al-menas l'kabel pras, el-avu kabodim shalom menas l'kabel pras. So here, a person is supposed to work on this world to become close to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Is that the tachas? Isn't that a person, he wants something for himself? He wants the kibbutz halakim, the closeness of the Rabbeinu Shalom. And I think the pshat in Mesillas HaSholem is, why did the Rabbeinu Shalom create a human being altogether? The Rabbeinu Shalom does not need a human being, us humans, in order he should be a melech. Adonolam ha-shamola ha-beterem kol yitzir nivro. The Rabbeinu Shalom had a Messias ha-melech. Messias ha-melech himself does not need any subject. So the Rabbeinu Shalom is a melech by himself. So why did he create? Says the Messias HaSholem himself, Elo leheitiv imbruav, that he wants to do good. He wants to help others. That's why he created a human being. No, the Rabbeinu Shalom could have created human beings with golden platters and malochim would serve him, like the Hodom HaRishon, Kedemachet. Malochim served them, they dined them, they wined them, everything they. Rabbeinu Shalom could have done that. Says the Mesillas HaSholem, it's called Named Kisufa, it's called. Named Kisufa means that when a poor man comes to eat by you, he's afraid to look up at the master. He's ashamed because he has nothing. Says the Mesillas HaSholem that if the Rabbeinu Shalom would give us everything we need, Rabbeinu Shalom created a person that he should work. And he should create himself. That's what a person is supposed to do. Why did he do that? Because a toiv wants to be a meitiv. Someone that's toiv wants to be a meitiv. So he wants to be a meitiv. If our kavone would be that we want kibbutz halakim li toiv, would be because the Rabbeinu Shalom wants that from us. The Rabbeinu Shalom wants to be us, give us that matone, that killed us alakim. That's the gansa machuven of creation of human being. That he should want to do the Rotzon Hashem, the Rotzon wants to be native. Then it's not a shaila. Why the tachlis is killed us alakim, they toiv. Killed us alakim toiv. means because that's what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants from us. The Rabbeinu Shalom wants to give us. That's what Rabbeinu Shalom, the tachlis is to give us. A person that feels that whatever he has from Rabbeinu Shalom is all the mitzvahs. The Nefesh HaChaim says that a person does a mitzvah. The mitzvah creates Olam Haba. There's no such a thing as Olam Haba. Olam Haba is created by the Maisa Mitzvah. That's what Rabbeinu Shalom wants from us. Klal Yisrael has a special shame, a name that's called Yosha. Elikim Oses Odom Yosha. Man himself was created with Yosha, Yashas. But Klal Yisrael themselves are called Tumas Yisholim Tanchim. They always have a name of Yisholim, Yisholim, Yisholim Zerom Rabbi Yechanan. The Avraham, Yitzchak, Yafai, we called Yeshorim. Thomas Nafshi, Mois Yeshorim. Bilam wanted, he wanted to be the Mois Yeshorim, that's what he wanted. Chol Yisrael is Hashem of Yeshorim. Elikim Rosa, Sodom Yosha, it seems that Yosha means, that's what Yosha means. There is nothing. Yosha says that the Rabbeinu Shalom gives you everything. That's what Yosha means. That's what we have to realize. And when the Rabbeinu Shalom gives a person a Seichel HaYosha, a Matona of Seichel HaYosha, how many people come to Rabbi Naftali Zecher Tzadik Livracha for an Eitzah? Because he had a Seichel HaYosha. He's from that, the Yeshorim, Tumas Yeshorim Tanchem. That was like, you're an Aish Yosha. Aish Yosha thinks only what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants from him. That is all he's thinking about. How can he help somebody? The Gemara says in Tainis, we find that one person gave Parnosa, more asked for Moshe Rabbeinu. The Masha says that for Miriam is not a Shailem because maybe Miriam was able to give Mayim to Kol Yisrael together with the Schus of Moshe Rabbeinu, so he was also there. But when Moshe Rabbeinu remained himself, and it was Bischusai, so the Gemara asked the Rabbim, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need it for himself. He needed for Rabbim, he has a din of Rabbim. That's what the Gemara says. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. When he doesn't think just for himself, he thinks of the Rabbim. What can we do for the Rabbim? What can we do for others? And don't go into instances where Rabbi Naftali Zecher Tzadik Livracha was always ready to do, always ready to work. Always ready to work. We had a fire mall. He came and he whatever he can do, the whole but he wanted to help. When a person thinks Yosha, then everything else what he does is a Chved Hashem. It's not so difficult. He thinks only, what's the Kvod Hashem? What does the Rabbeinu Shalom want from him? The instances that he helped people is an endless list of people. Whomever he could help, whomever he was able to help, he was always ready to help. There's no boundaries. I think he said himself that Friday, if you come early, seems he didn't finish the job yet. He says he still didn't finish. because he always felt there's so much to do, so much to work, so much to help. When Rabbi Znifter says in Chazal, the Talmidim, from a Kabbal, many Kabbalists, some were not so very difficult to fulfill, but it seems that we, as Talmidim of him, we mechuyev to take upon ourselves to do more than we do. That's what we mechuyev to do. And I think that would be the greatest chus for Rabbi Naftali Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Yehi Zichro Baruch.
Harav Baro Weisberg Shlita.
We're about to read the parsha of Erev Toldos Noach. We're all familiar with the Rashi. Erev Toldos Noach, Noach ish tzadik, Tavaracha zok Rashi, Limdoch she'ikir toldoseim shal tzadikim meisim tovim. The Torah is teaching us by calling and discussing the character of Noach before informing us of who his physical children were, that the Ikka told us, the Ikka creations of a human being are not his children, but his Maisim. Rashi says this is true of Tzadikim. Tanchuma says, V'chein toldeisav shal adam, Eilu Maisif HaTayf. Not only of Tzadikim, but of all men, of all people. The Ikka told us, their Ikka creations are the Maisim Tovim. We're talking about a person who it's very, very difficult to be able to shut up. In truth, we can't evaluate any human being. We don't begin to understand or to be able to assess and evaluate the chashivas of any human being. How much more so when we're talking about a giant of this stature? We're talking about someone as a young man who left his home, as we heard, to go learn in the near. But he was Taseach HaManas Latziach. He didn't just go to the near himself. The Baruch told me, Binyamin Salberg is like the Tzadik Lebracha told him. When he came to visit the yeshiva in Riverdale, he said, Dain Zayde was the one that was mashpia on me that I should go to the mir. And how many more people, as yet a youth, before he was married, before he came to the States, was this giant mashpia on? He comes to the United States, a bacher of 1920, to learn by the Zayde, to learn by the Balabai, the slave of Tzal. But that wasn't enough. Yes, he came, he learned, he got smicha, he became a rav. But at the same time, was working diligently to get sponsors for Achinu Bnei Yisrael, to get them out of Europe. He felt the keen sense of responsibility to be able to do whatever was shaykh, to see to it that people would be saved. And at the same time, la'at la'at taking on responsibilities in the yeshiva, besides learning in the yeshiva, taking on responsibilities in the yeshiva, helping the yeshiva in whatever he could. And this went on and on and on and on, over a period of time, taking on so much responsibility in the yeshiva, until he ultimately took full responsibility for the financial aspects of the yeshiva, was so ultimate and intimately involved in every aspect of the yeshiva, building this unbelievable campus. We drive on here now, we see the beautiful campus, we see all that's standing here before us. It didn't happen overnight. And no one was there with a carte blanche to say, here, just take care of the building. It took sweat and tears and tremendous amounts of undertaking and responsibility. And it was very, very hard, very, very far from easy. And at the same time, working tirelessly, making contributions not only to the yeshiva, but to the community at large, the Jewish community, the secular community, the educational community, the political community, the national community, the international community. Going to Iran in 1975 to speak with the government on behalf of the Jewish educational system. 2 years later, starting to accept the first Talmidim. A year after that, after the Shah's overthrow, Talmidim sitting in Rabbi Tendler's office then, upstairs, writing I-20s, day and night, to be able to get out to be matzal as many Yiddish and Neshamas as we could. And when these Neshamas came, these people who are now themselves Talmidei Chachamim Marbei Tefer and Manhigei Klal Yisrael, to see to it that they would have that which they needed, started with Rabbi Daniel Edelson of the Lagazund, who himself was walking around with a Farsi dictionary while he was giving shir, in order to be able to make the boys feel at home, in order to give them what they need. Who conceived the notion of an accrediting organization for yeshivas, that there shouldn't be chas v'shalom achilul Hashem, that there should be a standard that has to be met? How many of us sitting in this audience, and in audiences all over the United States, that are listening to these hespedim, can remember far back and not so far back the times that we came to Rav Neuberger asking aitzes, needing help, whether it was for simple things or very profound issues? And as we heard, he was always there. Rav Reuven Chavazel Zangerzin told me that Rav Neuberger once screamed at him. There was a crisis going on. And Rav Reuven came to Rav Neuberger to report to him the next day. And he screamed at him and said, why didn't you wake me at 3:30 in the morning? Why did you wait till now? As the Shiva mentioned, doctors, legal advice, whatever was necessary, whatever was within his power, directly or indirectly, nobody hesitated going to him for help, because he was always there with his door open, with his heart open, with his mind open, with everything that he had at his disposal that was open to Klal Yisrael, that was open to all mankind. Chazal say, Toldoseim shal odin eilu maisim teivim. The Toldoseim, the Iker told us, the Iker creations of a human being are not the physical children that we establish, that we bring into this world, but there are good deeds. The good deeds are walking around, the good deeds and realities that were brought into this world by the individual. So then why do we need hesped? Why do we need a eulogy? The good deeds were created. The good deeds have helped shape the world and make this world a better place. What do we gain from talking about it? The Gemara is the Kashif Emerson. The Gemara is Tzibay Lehu. Hespeid the Yakud the Chaya a Yakud the Shviva. Eulogies. Are they for the honor of the deceased? Or the honor of the family of the deceased, shall we say? The Gemara says, L'mayim Askemina, Gomalot is Pedua Lehu Gavra, Inam Lafuki Miyarshin. The Maskon of the Gemara, the final decision in the Gemara is that the purpose of eulogies is Yakar Deshchiva. It's for the honor of the deceased. How do we honor the deceased? One way, I think, is when we talk about the deceased, when we talk about the Maisim Tovim of the deceased, we're able, to some extent, to evaluate the Maisim Tovim that were done. I remember many years ago, goes back more than 30 years ago, I was standing in the kitchen of the Zayin Zechena Levracha. And he said to me, Vega Gemara. He said, Vega Gemara Psachim. Vega Gemara Psachim. Mishduch the Gemara, Tachman Tes. The Gemara says it like this. Tani Rabbanim. La'aylam yimkar adam ko mashi yesh lo'i v'yisav as tamad chacham. A person should always sell whatever he has in order to be able to marry the daughter of a tamad chacham. La'aymata bas tamad chacham. If he didn't find the daughter of a tamad chacham, yisav as gedolei gadol hador. Should marry the daughter of a gadol hador. Zekhti zedet nemakot in Rashi. So I took a look at Rashi. Zekhti Rashi gedolei hador and shemaisi v'tzadikim. Who are the gedolei hador? Two people. Two types of people. And shemaisin and tzadikim. The zedet gezocht Reb Naftali is a gadol hador. Rav Naftali, by virtue of his Maisim Tovim, is a Gadol Hador. The Hespedim are to be able to understand and evaluate who it is that we lost and who it is that we're coming to eulogize. We're coming to eulogize, we're coming to be masked, a Gadol Hador. By virtue of that which we do know about Rav Naftali, Zechen Lebracha, and about what we don't know of him. Shiva mentioned before, we have such a gadol, such a giant. That which we can do is to emulate him, to be able to take away some of that aveda. What is it? What other aspect can we try to see in what this giant was that we can try to emulate? We heard, and I'm sure we'll continue to hear, many different aspects. I'd like to mention another. The Baal Avedus Levi Taka, the Zedi used to say, Chassidim Zogen, Medav Zachlen and Drei Zachen from our kind. You have to learn three things from a child. One is never to sit still. Two, to think you can do anything. You should never think that there's something that I can't do. And three is if you really want something, cry for it. Rav Naftali Zecher Levracha was a person, was the embodiment of this limit. He never sat still. Whether he was sitting in his office, even if he was falling asleep talking to you. Did you ever notice? His right finger would be moving on his chair. Did you ever notice? His eyes could be closed. He was always in motion. There was never anything he thought he couldn't do. Whatever the challenge, whatever needed to be done, we'll start and we'll do and we'll get as far as we can get. But he's not going to be frightened off by the task. He's not going to say, I can't. He's going to try. He believes that he's going to be able to do it. This Yatr Ishmael, this Rabbeinu Shalom. What the Rabbeinu Shalom wants is what's going to happen. It's not ours to say we're not going to try. It's not ours to say that it's impossible. ours is to do. And something that maybe not all of us have seen, but many of us have. For such a tough man, he could be tough. There were times when he was tough, when he thought there was distress, injustice being done, he was tough. He would scream. He wouldn't take it that lying down. He couldn't stand an injustice. But that very tough man that would scream and would turn over worlds where it was necessary was as soft and as caring as any human being you'll find. He would cry when somebody else had a problem. It wasn't just something that he was doing because he had to help or because he could help. He felt the pain of another human being. He felt it. He cried it. There's another pshat in the pasuk. The pashta pshat in the pasuk of Eilat Toldos Neach. Is the children, Shem, Cham, and Yafes. To my horror, Rav Naftali was blessed with a family of extraordinary children. People themselves are involved in Torah and Aveda, in Gemilas Chasadim, in Yechidim, for the Tzibur, in Torah, in whatever the community needs. And on behalf of myself, I'd also like to welcome Rav Shestel. Hope to be able to work together till 120 Gesunter Jahren. We should be able to have not less Hatzlacha than was enjoyed until this time. There's one ingredient, however, that Naftali had that I don't know that we can duplicate. Swinu says, and the Pasuk Re'ei Karasi B'Shem B'Tzal Ben Uri Ben Chur B'Lumat Yehuda Re'ei V'Haven. What's the Pshat Re'ei? Is that the Swinu? Look and understand. Ki Loi El Chinam Kirasiv. Not for nothing that I call B'Tzal. Because there's something which is essential in Melachas HaKadosh, and that is, it has to be Nasis Agidei Bechir Hashem. It has to be done by one who is chosen by the Rabbeinu Shalom, HaMachavein B'Pu'ulosei SheYusag Tachlis HaMitzvah, whose intention in his activities in carrying out the mitzvahs is that the tachlis, that the purpose of the mitzvah should be realized. Slachir needs to be understood. If that is the ingredient which is necessary to be able to do, to be mechaven b'tul, also to have the intention when carrying out the mitzvah, that the purpose of the mitzvah, that the Rabbeinu Shlomo wanted to be accomplished, should be what he has in mind, then why does it have to be a Bechir Hashem who's doing it? The whole explanation that we're coming to understand that this morning is Re'ei Karasi B'Shem. And that, he says, Re'ei V'Avein Ki Lo Yochinam Karasiv. I'm explaining to you why I called him. Ki Dobri Kari Hu B'Mlachas HaKadosh Shetiyah Nazir Agile B'Chir Hashem HaMachavein B'Pulosa Sheyusag Tachas HaMitzvah. So why do I need that it should be a Bechir Hashem? Why do I need it should be Karasi B'Shem? Let's just look for a person who has this Kayach of being mechaven b'tulasei, the tachlis of the mitzvah. Vaistos from the Sfurnum, that if we see a person who is mechaven b'tulasei, she yusek tachlis ha-mitzvah, that's a simen is a Bechir Hashem. It can't be done otherwise. Otherwise the Sfurnum is not there. the simon that this is the Bechir Hashem is because you see from all his pa'ulas that they were done in order to be mechaven to the tachlis of the mitzvah. A Brazoi, trying to emulate a Bechir Hashem is very difficult. Because a Bechir Hashem has to come through a Kriya. But that seems to be that which it takes in order to be able to succeed in the way that Rav Naftali Reb Meir did. I'd just like to end with the famous Gemara. Gemara says that by Talmud Torah, Hillel was Mechayev Aniyim, Rav Elazar ben Charsim was Mechayev Ashirim, and Yosef HaTzadik was Mechayev Rishayim. That's by Talmud Torah. I think that we can all say that Rav Naftali ben Meir is Mechayev Klal Yisrael when it comes to concern for Klal Yisrael. When it comes to caring, when it comes for caring without a self, without an end, when it comes to doing and doing without an end, Rav Naftali ben Meir is our Mechayev. Yehi zichro baruch. Vilam lovis alechtach.
Avi Meiri, Harav Shechtel Meir, Neuberger Shlita.
Vayavai Avraham Vishayid L'sora V'liv Koyso. Avraham came to be masped, to eulogize Sarah, and to cry for her. Normally the order should be that in reaction to tragic news, the initial response would be the emotional one of crying, followed by a thoughtful eulogy. In Sarah's case, Avraham understood that the opposite was required. Sarah Imenu, our patriarch, Sarah, was the paradigm of tznius, modesty. Vayomer hineva oihel. She was always in the background. No one other than Avraham Avinu would know the full impact and importance of her role. Thus Avraham decided that Sarah required a hesped, a eulogy, to make known her immense role in the creation and the genesis of our people, so that they would realize the true proportion of her loss, out of which would come that emotional reaction, the bechiah, the cry. The true measure of Avi Meiri Hareini Kaparas Mishkavai is not limited to the magnificence of bricks and mortar, or even to the size of the yeshiva, the Liayin Hara, as great as it is. Much of his great accomplishments were achieved behind the scenes, known only to those who were involved or who were the recipients of his sage advice and help. Some of that, indeed, has come out in letters written and remembrances recounted throughout the Shiva. However, there are many aspects that will never come out, especially those instances that his involvement and intercession prevented many unfortunate things from happening. Those are only known to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Thus, our crying after the hesped is a more meaningful recognition of our loss. There are four dimensions of our father's life that I wish to address. the yeshiva, the klal, our community, individuals, and our family. And there is one incredible underlying attribute that informed all of them. As the Philadelphia Rosh Yeshiva said so eloquently, Avi Meiri was a yoshar. There is no word in the English language that conveys the full meaning of this word. Perhaps its simple translation is the word straight. However, that does not begin to cover the breadth of its meaning. Shlomo HaMelech tells us, Elokim bara has ohadam yoshar v'heim bikshu chishbaynes rabim. Hashem created man to be yoshar, which means he provided mankind with all the facilities with which to serve him properly and fully complete Hashem's purpose for creation. That means all the intelligence, insight, understanding, vision, and dedication to purpose are all facets of that title called Yoshar. V'heim bikshu chishbaynos rabim. However, mankind sought many different tracks. Man took all those fabulous attributes and polluted them by going off in other directions. The Netziv, in his Akdamah to Sefer Bereishis, quotes numerous places where the book of Bereishis is called Sefer HaYoshar, which, as the Rosh Yeshiva also mentioned, is the frame of reference that Bilam invokes when he says, Tamas Nafshi Mais Yeshorim, which is his expression that he would wish to be granted the exalted demise of our Avos, of our patriarchs. Thus says the Netziv, it is apparent that the ultimate complement to our Avos, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, was that they are Yesharim. Yashar seems to be praise that is greater than Tzaddik or Chassid. And he asks, what was unique about our Avos that earned them this incredible title? The Netziv answers that they were able to always retain a global focus. They were Tzaddikim, and they were Chassidim. They were learned and fully dedicated to keeping the Torah even before it was given. They were insular in their own lives, yet they were able to interact even with heathen idol worshippers. Avram Avinu davened to Hashem in an effort to save Sodom v'Amora, even though they represented the antithesis of everything that he stood for. Yitzchak Avinu negotiated with the Plishtim numerous times and in a friendly manner, even though he was continually double-crossed by them. Yaakov Avinu dealt kindly with Lavan, even after he chased after him to destroy him and was only prevented by Hashem's intercession. The Avos were called Yesharim because they managed to focus and direct all their immense abilities and talents in the service of Hashem without losing a big picture perspective. This unique attribute informed every aspect of our father, Zichrono Livracha's life. First and foremost is how this expresses itself in the crown jewel of his accomplishments, our beloved Yeshivas Ner Yisroel. He had the enormous zechus to be able to build the yeshiva under the leadership and direction of Moran Rosh HaYeshiva Zecher Tzadik Livracha the Baal Avodas Levi. They shared a dream and a vision that a European-style yeshiva in the mold of Slabodka would grow and flourish on the American soil. The main focus of the yeshiva is clearly to produce outstanding Talmidei Chachamim who can totally dedicate their lives to learning. It is therefore no surprise that our dear father would go out of his way to intercede with parents to allow their son to devote himself to learning without pursuing other educational opportunities. We received a letter from an outstanding Talmud Chacham in our midst, who told how Rabbi Neuberger advised him what to say to his parents at every juncture. At first, putting other pursuits on hold. As this young man continued to grow, and the time came for him to tell his parents that he would not pursue other educational options, Rabbi Neuberger told him that he should tell his parents very clearly of his plans. And if they are upset, ask them to call me. The young man wrote us that when he finished a blistering 45-minute phone call with his very unhappy parents, he was shaking like a leaf. He reported his experience to Rabbi Neuberger and said that he mentioned to his parents that they should call, but he really wasn't sure whether they would. 3 days later, this young man is summoned to Rabbi Neuberger's office and was told that everything is okay and his parents have agreed. No one knows what our father said to these parents. However, we do know that whenever this young man's father and mother visited here in Baltimore, they looked forward to visiting and spending time with my father. Their relationship was not altered. Our father encouraged Moron Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal to bring Rav David Kronglev Zatzal to the yeshiva. His presence still reverberates in this Beis Medrash. For over 50 years, our father Zal worked together with the Rosh HaYeshiva of Weinberg Zecher Tzadik Livracha, whose genius and influence elevated the lives of all of us. Together they were focused on excellence in learning and on imparting a sense of responsibility to all of the Talmidim of the yeshiva. At the same time, they all understood that our yeshiva needs to accommodate those who wish to pursue other educational opportunities and careers, and that it would indeed be better for them if they could do that within the context of a strong and vibrant Mokum Torah. This was their big picture perspective. The strong nucleus of dedicated B'nai Torah interacting with those involved in other pursuits would elevate and imbue all of them to make Torah central to their lives. And indeed, many, many of these graduates of the yeshiva not only occupied positions of leadership in their fields of endeavor, but they are also leaders within the community. And this brings us to the second dimension, community. Our father followed the example of the Avos, of our forefathers. He was revered and respected by everyone in the broader Jewish community, as well as in society at large. He was always true to his convictions. He stood up and fought valiantly for his positions, but never with rancor. He was always respectful and never strident. Even those who consistently disagreed with him respected him. He enjoyed warm relationships with our governors, senators, congressmen, state and county legislators, mayors, and county executives. He was consistent, discreet, and trustworthy. An entire volume could be written about the vast number of national and international issues that he was involved with, together with his dear personal friend from the time he came to Baltimore, Rabbi Moshe Scherer, Zichrono Livracha, who built Agudas Yisrael into the foremost organization representing our community. One of the utmost axioms of his big picture view as a yosher was his unrelenting pursuit of shalom, of peace. Whether it involved individuals or whole communities, he spared no effort to bring people together to keep that which is whole from being fractured. He taught us by example the importance of communal involvement and leaves us a cherished legacy that we will preserve. The dimension of his care and concern for every individual is legion. An alumnus of Neri Yisrael returned to Baltimore after having completed his medical education in England. He was here to be in a postdoctoral program at Hopkins for several years, and he was looking to settle within the community. My father, Zal, offered him an apartment in Yeshiva Lane in return for being a doctor on campus to serve the students in the evening and to be available for medical emergencies. Dr. Yoel Jacobowitz came and has never left. Our father did this as much for the sake of Dr. Jacobowitz and his family as he did it for the sake of the yeshiva. And indeed, we as a family owe a debt of gratitude to Dr. Jacobowitz for what he has done for our family as a whole, and especially for our mother and our father. It is likely that most everyone gathered here, and those who have joined us in numerous other venues across the country and overseas, have a personal story to tell of how our father impacted their lives directly or indirectly. Time does not allow for me to dwell upon them. The great number of families that he saved in World War II grew out of efforts that he started the moment he arrived in Baltimore as a 20-year-old refugee himself. Soon you will hear from Rabbi Hakakian about our father's incredible efforts on behalf of Persian Jewry. And that, as Rav Berl so eloquently pointed out, and others, that he is their spiritual father. Anyone in need of help or advice could and did approach him. The breadth of his knowledge and understanding in a wide array of fields enabled him to provide wise counsel to almost anyone. He used his ingenuity and vast resources of connections to help thousands of individuals. Achren, Achren Chaviv was his family. All that he accomplished was only possible thanks to his extraordinary Eshes Chayil, our mother, Aleha HaShalom. She single-handedly took care of all of our needs as children so that he could devote his life to the world. She instilled in us such a sense of pride in what he was doing that we never felt neglected. Their relationship and extraordinary devotion to each other and to others allowed that our grandmother, Mama Aleha HaShalom, our mother's mother, an extraordinary woman in her own right, moved in with my parents right after their chasana. When Mama passed away, it didn't take too long until my father's mother, Muti Aleha HaShalom, moved in with them. The care, devotion, and concern for dignity that our father showered on our mother during her very long period of infirmity was simply breathtaking. Yet it was done as a matter of course. He has left us an enormous legacy and a magnificent challenge. Thanks to his example, we are really, truly blessed in the yeshiva with a phenomenal staff of dedicated individuals for whom 24/7 is de rigueur. The complexity of staging this hesped required hours and long nights of work and the enormous cooperation of many. Thanks to enormous Siyata Deshmaya and the collaborative yedidus with which the Rosh Hashiva Shlita, Rav Beryl Shlita, and myself are privileged to share, together with our outstanding Hanhola in the Yeshiva and the Mechina, Neri Yisrael shines brightly in the firmament of the Olam HaTorah. Make no mistake. Daddy Zichrono Livracha is irreplaceable. The magnificent generation of those great personalities that built Neri Yisrael are no more. What falls to us is a constant hope and a fervent tefillah. Masai yagia masai lemaise avosai. When will my deeds equal those of my forebearers? The Sfasemis explains that yagia does not mean to equal. It means to touch. Let us be mispalel that together the entire mishpacha of Neri Yisrael will preserve our great legacy, and that our efforts and dedication will approach and touch the deeds of our father, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Bilam Ovesla, Netzach Umocha, Dimelim, Dima Melkota.
Representing the Rabbanim of Baltimore, we would like to ask Rav Moshe Heinemann Shlita to say Divrei Hesped.
The entry there, a flogger, said, Hava nivne lana ir. Let's build a city. Umigdal v'rosha v'shamayim. We'll make a tower all the way up into the sky. V'nasa lana shem. We'll make a name for ourselves. The city and the town did not find favor in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Torah doesn't really explicitly explain what the problem was. But the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Hein Sofa Achas, Am Echad Sofa Achas Ukulam. They speak one language, they're one people, V'zeh Hachiyom Lasois, and this is what caused the problem. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says that in order to stop this building, there's only one way to do it. And that is cause between the people there should be agitation. They should not get along with each other. So the Ribbono Shel Olam changed and the language that one got upset with the other, they have to live nicer, and the building stopped. Now the question is, first of all, what was the problem with the building the city? And secondly, if the Ribbono Shel Olam said that there was a problem and it was caused by the fact that there was only one language and the Ribbono Shel Olam made it into 70 languages, why didn't the Ribbono Shel Olam create the 70 languages from the very beginning? When he created the world, he should have created the 70 languages right away. Chazal say the problem was that the purpose of this building and of this city was to rebel against the Ribbono Shel Olam. They said the earth is not a safe place in which to live. Every 1656 years there's going to be a flood. Let's build a big building and we will be able to get out of these kind of problems. As I'll say, some people said, let's go up there and live there. Some groups said, let's go up there and fight with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the other group said, let's go up there and worship Avodah Zarah. Basically, it's all the same thing. If someone thinks that he can get away from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he'll get out of a flood by doing something the Ribbono Shel Olam can't get him, that's fighting with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Avodah Zarah. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, we'll stop this by causing strife between these people. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, Achdus is a tremendous kayach, a tremendous strength. Everyone together. And it seems that if they were all being together, the Ribbono Shel Olam wouldn't have been able to stop this. He stopped it by causing a split. So this Achdus, the strength of this Achdus, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, he wanted everyone to be Eved Hashem, do the Ratzon Hashem together. And with that Kayach of Achdus, there will be Kedusha in the world. There will be Tahara in the world. But now that they used it against the Ribbono Shel Olam, to rebel against him, then now the Ribbono Shel Olam saw that we have to create 70 languages. When the Yidden were mekabel the Torah, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Negev Ahar, Belev Echad Kish Echad, Kabbalah of Torah is all when everyone's together. Rabbi Naftali Neuberger, with a kayach of Achdus, this was his thing. There should be Shalom, as we've heard from the other Masbidim. There should be Shalom. With the kayach of Shalom, many things can be accomplished. There'd be shalom within the yeshiva ranks, on which he worked very hard. There'd be shalom in the town. There'd be shalom in Klal Yisrael. Shalom all over. He said, "Hava nivra manu lanu ir. Let's build a city. Let's build a city of Torah. A city of Yer Shemayim, of Tamid Chachamim. U'migdol v'rosh ha'Shemayim. We will build a tower, a Beis Medrash, a yeshiva, a kol, which will bring us up to the highest pinnacles. Yir Shamayim, covered Shamayim." And with the Koyach of Achdus, we will be successful. And that is what the Ribbono Shel Olam created the Koyach of Achdus for. The one language. People came here to this yeshiva from all different types of backgrounds. Some of them came from frum families, and some came from not frum families. Some were Sfadim, some were Ashkenazim. Some were Hasidim, some were Mizrahim. There were Persians. There were people that came from South America, from all over the world. They did not speak the same language. Some wanted to become Balabatim, and some wanted to become Manhigim, Rabbanim, Rosh Yeshiva. They all had a place over here in this yeshiva. This yeshiva made them all speak one language, a language of Torah and a language of Yerushalayim. But it was not only in the yeshiva. In the town of Baltimore, it's an incredible thing. There are over 30 frum shuls in this town. All of them, or practically all of them, have been established with the guidance and the wisdom and the direction of Rav Naftali Neuberger. And he made sure that there should be shalom. How many towns are there that have 30 frum shuls and there should not be any machlokes? No machlokes. Shalom was something which was very important to him. And sometimes it was necessary to make a compromise in order to get this, to get the shalom. But even with people that were not from our circle, he also had a way with them. He had a derech. And this is a complicated thing. I saw in a sefer that on Sukkot we take the Dalet Minim. We take the Esrog and the type of people that the Esrog represents. And we take the Lulav and Adasim and the type of people they represent. And we take the Arabis with the type of people they represent. And we take them all together by good Echos. We take them together. We are mechuyev to take them together. The mitzvah is to take them together. And yet we find the Chazal say that Arabis, are we supposed to have a connection with Arabis? So I saw in a sefer that says the following. It depends what kind of Arabis we're dealing with. If there are Arabis that want to have a connection with the Lulav and with the Hadassim and the Esrog, those are the type of Arabis that we should be Makarov. But if they want to make their own group, the Hashanis, a group of Arabis, and stay away from the Esrog, and stay away even from the Lulav and the Hadassim, those type of Arabis, we clap them and smash them and beat them and weaken them, have nothing to do with them. And this was, we saw this, Baron Neuberger. Those Arabis that wanted to have a kesher with the other Minim, he was Makar of them, he dealt with them, he worked with them. But those that once not, didn't want to have any shaykhs, those he admonished people that had something to do with them, that went to deal with them, said, don't have anything to do with these people. And because of this hanhaga, that he was able to deal with even the people that were not from our circle, and they admired him, and they respected him, because of his honesty, his integrity. So we are one of the only towns, Baltimore is one of the only towns in the United States of America, where the Jewish Community Center is closed on Shabbos. One of the big things that Harav Naftali Neuberger did is that he took over the financial burden of the yeshiva. Besides the ruchnis in which he was involved with, he took over the financial burden to that degree that he did not let the Rosh Yeshiva, the Baal Avodas Levi, he didn't get him involved in collecting funds. It's unusual. Most Rosh Yeshivas have to go and help raise funds for the yeshiva. He didn't do that. He took over that burden. I once heard a Mishnah Digavot from Irving Bunim. It said as follows. It says in the Gemara, in the end of Sefer, that the Gedol HaDor got together in the attic of someone, Beis Guria, in Yericho. And they were discussing many important things that affected Klal Yisrael. A bas kol came out from Hashemayim, a voice came down from heaven and said, Yesh kan echa, there's between you, Talmid HaChachamim, between you, Gedol HaDor, there's one of you, Sheroi Shatishra Olav Shechina, Elosh'ein Doroi Lekach. There's one person over here that's Roy that the Shechina should rest on him. The divine presence of the Rebbeinu Shalom should rest on him, but the Dor is not Roy. Nasnu Chacham Meineim Behil HaZaken. They all assumed that this person who was the one who would really be the Roy for the Shalos HaShechina was Hill. Alright. So the question is, he asked, if he really was of such a caliber, such a big tzaddik, that he should have the Hashras HaShechina, so what if the Dor isn't Roy? He's Roy! He deserves it, so why shouldn't he have it? He said the following answer. The Gemara says in Yuma that, as was mentioned before, that after 120 years, when the Baruch Shalom will come and you'll ask each person, why didn't you learn Torah? So that some people are rich and some people are poor. So the poor person will say, I couldn't learn Torah. I was busy with my parnasa. I had to feed my family. I had to take care of the needs of the household. So that's why I took up all my time. That's why I couldn't learn. So the Rebbe will say to him, were you poorer than Hillel? Hillel used to go and chop down trees, and he used to earn a tropic a day. And when he earned this tropic, half of it he paid for tuition to the Shemar Pesach of the Beis Medrash, and the other half of the tropic he gave to his family that they should live on. Well, you can already understand how if he gave this the one half of tropic was tuition, how much did the family live on? They lived in abject poverty. So once there's one day he couldn't find any work, and he wanted to hear Torah from Shmaya Bar Tyrant, he went up on the roof, it was Erev Shabbos, and we all know the whole story, it snowed on him, and he nearly froze to death. So Rav Irvin Bunim asked the following question. Hillel was this genius. He was a genius. He was the Galadar. He was Rosh HaTisha Al Hashkina. Wasn't there anyone around who recognized his genius, who recognized what he could become, and there wasn't anyone to say, I'll support this family. I'll support the family, and they should go and learn the whole day. But he had to go and work, chop down trees. There wasn't anyone that did it. And that is what Chazal mean by Ein Doro Roy Lekach. He had the capability of to get Hashrat Hashkina. If he would have sat and learned and be Isaac in Torah and Yerushalayim all the time, he would have been Zayich the Yerushalayim. But the reason why he couldn't, because there was no one in the whole Doro who recognized this and said, I will support him. That's why he didn't have that Hashrat Hashkina. But I can tell you that if Rav Natan Neuberger would have been living in the time of Hillel, or someone like him would have been living in the time of Hillel, Hillel would have been Zoicha to Hashras Hashchina. He didn't let the Rosh Yeshivas spend their time raising funds for the yeshiva, certainly not chopping wood in order to make a parnasa. There was another thing. I was a zaycha to be a rabbi in the mechitza in the yeshiva for quite a few years. We all the rabbeim got our salary on time, always. Never was the check late. Rav Neuberger was medagdic, and he made special arrangements that we should get paid on time, because a Rebbe shouldn't have to worry about what he's going to feed his family. He should be able to devote himself completely to his Talmidim without anything else on his mind, and the check was always there on time. And not only, even though that very often the yeshiva was in dire financial straits, he went and borrowed money from the outside rather than borrow money from the rabbeim. It's much easier to borrow money from the rabbeim. Just don't pay them. No. That thought never crossed his mind. We always got paid on time. And not only that, but he convinced one of the supporters of the yeshiva to give a choshuva bonus to the rabbeim before the Yom Tovim, before Pesach, and before Sukkot. All that the Rebbe shouldn't have to worry, where am I going to feed my family, comes Yom Tov, there's extra expenses. He took care of us. He took care of us to make sure that the Talmidim have Rabbeim that are completely dedicated to taking care of the Talmidim and for the Rabbeim themselves. he built up this whole campus. He wanted a campus where the Bachrim could feel comfortable. He wanted a campus that would show respect for Torah. He kept this campus in top-notch condition. The lawn was mowed when it needed mowing. The snow was removed when it needed cleaning. So people should not think that what kind of a place is this yeshiva? He wanted people to be impressed with the dignity and respect for Torah. Rav Ram Cohen, Zechon Bracha, who was the head of the seminary in Gateshead, he once came here and visited Rabbi Neuberger. He said, the size of this campus is very impressive. It is actually the biggest campus of any yeshiva in the world. But I'm much more impressed by the way in which the campus is maintained. People came to him from all walks of life. They respected him and they asked for his help. He had connections with government officials. They saw in him a straightforward person whose word is a word. By our Achinu B'nai Yisrael, he helped yeshivas from all types of yeshivas. Most Rosh yeshivas had connection with him. They needed him for his advice and for his help. Rav Moshe Shera, Zichrono Bracha, who headed the National Aguda, International, the World Aguda, told me that practically a day didn't go by that he didn't call Rabbi Neuberger to ask him for his Eitzah. They dealt with all the world problems in the whole world that confronted Jewry. But even though that Rav Naftali Neuberger was involved with all the problems of the world, the problems of the yeshiva, so many things on his mind, he never became haughty. He didn't become inflated. If he met a little child on Yeshiva Lane who was crying, he bent down and asked the child, what is the matter? What can I do to help you? He lived in a regular apartment just like everyone else. And even when the townhouses were built, he did not move into a townhouse. He stayed in his simple apartment just like everyone else. But what is, there's a Jewish saying, that called Barach Minah Kovet, if someone runs away from honor, HaKovet Barach Achrav, can be said about Rav Naftali Neuberger. He ran away from Kovet, but the Kovet ran after him. Actually, my family had a special schus that I and my family lived next to the Neuberger family for a quarter of a century. There was just a thin wall between from Neuberger's apartment and our apartment. Even though that we had small children and babies that made plenty of noise during the day and even in the middle of the night, Rav Neuberger never, or the Rebbetzin, never ever complained that there was a problem. Even during the time when Rav Neuberger's mother was living with them and they needed quiet, they never complained. And even when the Rebbetzin Neuberger was older and she needed quiet, they never complained. And when I went and excused myself that the children made noise, he said, we didn't hear anything. Actually, we couldn't have had any better neighbors. Chazal say, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said to his Talmidim, Ezer derech yasha Shiyavalei Adam, what's a good thing that a person should do? Rav Yossi said, Shachin Tov. We couldn't have had any better neighbors. Many times, there are some things that we knew as neighbors. The Rebbetzin, Neuberger, and Rav Natan Neuberger, they shared their life together. They had the same goals. They lived in harmony and in respect for each other. Very often, Rav Neuberger would call the Rebbetzin and say, I have a Rosh Hashiva who I want to bring over for breakfast or for lunch. I have a senator. I have a Hashiva person I want to bring over. And the Rebbetzin, within a short, very short period of time, she went overboard to make sure that everything is just perfect for when this guest comes. It was done because she did it for Rav Neuberger, and she did it for the yeshiva, and she did it because she wanted to do it. She did it with love. Every Erev Shabbos, without any exception, Rav Neuberger brought flowers for the Rebbetzin for Kavod Shabbos. And not only that, he was a Mekabel on himself, never to leave the family on Shabbos. So even though he was very far away, some was in a different country, and he had to be there the next week also, he came back and then went back again if that was necessary in order to be home for Shabbos. Unless the Rebbetzin went with him. The Rebbetzin took very good care of Rav Neuberger her life, as long as she was able to do that. She helped him in his work for the yeshiva to help the klal and to help the prat. And he also did whatever he could for her, especially in the last difficult years of his life. He did everything that was possible that he could to help her. It was a house of Simchas HaChaim. It was a happy house. And the both of them worked together, Lahagot Toil Hadira, and to the Kaddish name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. With all his work that he did for the Torah, Kavod HaTorah, for the Klal, he helped individuals with his sage advice, with doctors, telling which doctors to go to. And if someone had an appointment with a doctor, but the doctor said, I can't see you until 3 months' time, he got an appointment that day or the next day. In Inyan of Parnassa, people came. He used his connection to help people get jobs. If they needed legal advice, he helped them. He got them lawyers, whatever was necessary. He helped people with money to get avos. He helped people that had immigration problems. He got them helped. If there's a problem with an autopsy, he used his connections to take care of whatever could be taken care of. So we need a passport today. He got him the passport right away within a couple of hours. He loved people, and he was Ovis Abrius of Makamu the Torah. In the town of Baltimore, he was the one that was behind the new mikveh, building the new mikveh, because the old one was not in such a good section. He was behind the formation of new shuls, including the two good shuls, which were built in Baltimore. He helped me to become the rabbi of the shul. He was involved in this formation of the Vadak Kashrus, the way it looks now, and he encouraged me as a rebbe to take on this responsibility and be a Rebbe at the same time. Wherever he could be machazik, Yiddishkeit, he was there right at the beginning to strengthen it and to further whatever he could. He was zoicha to save the Persian Jewry. Today, the Iranians that came to that through his efforts, came to the yeshiva to live at B'nai Torah, their Talmid HaChachamim, the Rosh HaKoyel, the Manhigim, the Rabbanim, and who knows what would have become of all these people if they would have been from it all, if it had not been for his efforts. He said, Hava Nivne Lanoir, that let's build a city. The Migdal Rosh HaShemayim, a city of from a Yidden, of Bnei Torah, of Tamir Chachamim, and the Migdal, this citadel of Torah, Rosh HaShemayim, that the head of it should be Yer HaShemayim. He was the one who was able to build it with Hain Am Echad V'Sofa Achas U'Kuram, because they all spoke one language. He made them speak one language. And this is what started them off. And therefore the Ribbon Shem said, we will not hold back. He wanted to do it. It's a good thing. You're using the Koyach of Achtus to do a good thing. It should be done. He's Zecher Baruch.
There are many Persian Talmidei Chachamim who we could have asked to be maspid this evening. Many have joined us from near and far. We have asked on behalf of the Persian community in Baltimore and around the globe, the director of the Persian program here in Eretz Yisrael, to say Divrei Hesped, Harav Eliyahu HaKakyan Shlita.
Kvod Rosh HaYeshiva Shlita, the Philadelphia Rosh HaYeshiva Shlita, the Hanhalat HaYeshiva, the Chashuv HaRabbanim, the alumni and the Talmidim of the Yeshiva, the honorable public officials, and Moray V'Raboisai. It's a daunting task to stand here tonight and address you. For me, it's a daunting task. For one, I don't think it's possible for me to try to capture and encapsulate even some rays of the light of that shining bright star, Matzdike HaRabim Pikochavim, to capture and describe the level of dedication, the sense of responsibility, the love and the care and the sensitivity that he bestowed upon our Kehila. But it's also daunting because I'm a representative. I'm standing here tonight to represent not only almost 70 Bachrim and Yungalite, Persian Bachrim and Yungalite, who are presently enjoying the bracha of learning Torah and growth in this yeshiva, in our yeshiva, but also the several hundred young men who have been hosted by the yeshiva and enjoyed that bracha anywhere from 1 month to over 20 years. Some of whom are Chashuvei Talmidei Chachamim, Marbitzei Torah v'Rabbim. But that's not it. I'm also representing the greater Persian communities throughout the United States and abroad, be it by Zachin La'adav Shulam B'fanav, who are, or Be'ezus Hashem, will be the beneficiaries of that bracha through the alumni and the Talmidim of the yeshiva. But yet, that's not it. I'm also representing, and perhaps more importantly so, our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, our ancestors of the past 2,500 years, the Galus of Paras. They need to be represented here tonight. The Imra Achshav. Hey, Mosai. Because despite the bloodshed and the pogroms that they endured, despite the killings and the lootings and the humiliation that they suffered, they did not give up the Judaism, the Yiddishkeit. They did not compromise their values. And they kept to the best of their abilities whatever they knew and whatever they learned. They made sure to pass on the torch, the fire of Yiddishkeit and the Mesorah and the Emunah Peshuta from generation to generation for over 2,500 years. Then came the day, the historical moment that perhaps beaconed the end of Galus of Paras. The Kehila that had stayed put in the same land for over 2,500 years began to move. The challenges of the new land and the new culture, with all the Yetzer Haras that it entailed, threatened to extinguish that old, old flame. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'rachamav HaMerubim, in His merciful Hashkocha, was Maktim Refua Lemaka. He had prepared an antidote. The same way that Yaakov Avinu sent Yehuda to Mitzrayim ahead of time to establish a yeshiva, the same way that before Churban HaBayis, Hecharesh V'Am Esger, the Talmidei Chachamim, were taken to Babel to prepare to teach Torah to the Yidden who would later come to Galus, the same way the antidote, the Makom Torah, was prepared and was provided to prepare the future Rabbanim and future leaders of the Iranian Jewry. Long before they knew that they're about to move. The person who took it upon himself to administer that antidote, that refuah, was none other than Rabbi Neuberger, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He saw the need, and he said, Olai Lehakim. Not only that, he convinced the whole yeshiva, the whole hanhala of the yeshiva, to say, Aleinu Lehakim. He had seen the need long before the revolution. When the Hashkocha brought him into Iran, he saw the need for the future Rabbanim and Mecharchim in Iran, and the idea was formed in his mind to bring boys to the yeshiva from Iran, to educate them and teach them, and then send them back to become the Rabbanim and the leaders of the community in Iran. He had a tremendous foresight, yet he was not a Navi. This idea had to go through a lot of changes and a lot of modifications as the situation in Iran changed day by day. What remained unchanged, what remained constant, was that dedication and devotion of Alai Lahakim. The Alai Lahakim that knew no boundaries. The Alai Lahakim that surpassed all limits. Once someone told me that if the decision of the Iranian program was in the hands of a board of any school, it wouldn't stand a chance. Financially, doesn't make any sense. Bringing so many boys to the yeshiva without a tuition and providing for them whatever they need. We all knew how Rabbi Neuberger cared for the yeshiva's money. Once when I was a bacher, I noticed that while the chazan was davening here, these lights were off. So I quickly came over and turned them on. And Rabbi Neuberger, who was standing right there, turned to me with a smile and he said, it's important to turn on the light while the chazan is davening. It's also important to turn off the light after the chazan finishes davening. It was a common sight for all our bachurim those days to see Rabbi Neubiger walk into the Beis Medrash at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning to turn off the extra lights. And to tell the bachurim to make sure to turn off the rest of the lights when they leave. The person who cared so much for yeshiva's money. Yet, on numerous occasions, when I came to him and I said, Rabbi Neubiger, a few bachurim that came to yeshiva recently, Persian bachurim, they're not even ready yet for the lowest level of the shiurim in the mechina. He told me, if there are three of them, we'll get him a rabbi. For three bachurim, we'll get a rabbi. I said, but they don't know English. We'll hire teachers. At one point of time, there were two special shiurim running beside the yeshiva's shiurim, only for the Iranians. That is, beside all the English classes. A number of years ago, I brought to his attention that we need to start a summer program for our Persian bachurim. It used to be that they used to go to the camps in upstate New York to work in the summer. And we realized that in many ways that was not a good thing. So I came to Rabbi Neubiger, I said that I have this idea in mind that we should have a program for them during the summer. I told them the program and I told them what it would cost. I told them about the learning and the other activities that we will have for them. So he said to me, so what is your budget for the activities? I told him this is the budget that I have in mind. Probably that's what's going to cost. Right away he said, yeshiva will cover 25%. I didn't ask for it. I didn't mean to ask for it. I only came for an etza and for permission. It was a program that we started. I thought I was going to carry on all by myself. Yeshiva will provide 25%. That is beside all the room and board and food and all the facilities that they put at our disposal. Financially sensible or not, the Torah has to be preserved. But not only financially. The Persian program did not make sense in many ways. That is why the other yeshivas were not open to the idea at this scale, at this large scale. Even the hanhala of the yeshiva at the time had a difficulty accepting the idea. Imagine, to bring in boys to the yeshiva from overseas, so many boys. How about a cultural clash? Until they adapt themselves, until they become mainstream in the yeshiva, you know what the American students have to go through? Just ask around. Or to bring 19 and 20 and 20-year-old boys, 21-year-old boys, and put them in the high school shiurim, in the mechina shiurim, next to high school boys. How could it work? It doesn't make any sense. The Torah tells us that in building the Mishkan, although the crushing, the boards had adonim, had bases for them to stand on, to keep them standing, atzei shittim omdim, yet these boards needed bars, needed berichim to run behind them. And the Torah tells us, v'habariach hatichon mavriach min hakotze el hakotze. The Gemara explains in Shabbos that the beriach hatichon, the middle bar, would run from one end all the way around to the other end of the wall. The question is, that's a miracle. That's a nace. That's what the Gemara says. The nace I omit. Why was that nef necessary in the Mishkan? It wasn't a nef nigla so much. The Beriah HaTichon had to run through the walls. It wasn't like the other Berichim that would be behind the walls. Who would see that this Beriah HaTichon would bend at every corner, miraculously? What is the need for such a nef? What do we learn from that nef? Perhaps the message is that the Mishkan, all different sides of the Mishkan, the Tzafon and Dorom and Mizrach and Ma'arav, all different directions, corresponded to the different qualities, different characteristics, different kochot and nefesh that the Shevatim had, who had to camp around the Mishkan. The Saviv le Mishkan Yachanu. They had to be in the north or the south or the east or the west. To bring together all these koichos, to bridge all these differences, to make shalom between all these characteristics, you need an ace. Can't be done without an ace. The Mavriach HaTichon makes sure to teach us that you should know that to bring together all these kochos, an ness is needed, and the ness is provided. A siyata dishmaya is provided. A siyata dishmaya is provided for the hashvaas hashechina, for the purpose of v'shachanti besochan. And the boy said, that Beriah HaTichon was Rabbi Neuberger. He was the one who brought together, despite all the difficulties, despite all the difference in opinions in the Hanhala of the Yeshiva, he brought together everybody to stand behind him and say, Alay the Hakim. He taught us, yes, there are problems. Yes, there are issues. But look at the importance of the task. Look at the neshamos that you are saving. Look at the diaries of Yiddishkeit that you're preserving. The Siyata Dishmaya will help beyond the laws of nature. If we say Aleinu Lehakim, then the problems will melt away. And look at the result. How right he was. That sense of responsibility stemmed from a tremendous heart. The love and the care that he showed for our Bachrim, for our Kehila. Once I came to him, I told him that we knew we get the Bachrim who were supposed to arrive, came yesterday. He said, how are they doing? I said, Baruch Hashem, we found them places. He said, do they have everything they need? I said, no, we're going to take him shopping today. He took out his personal checkbook. He wrote a check for a substantial amount. And he handed it to me. He said, here, use this. And if you need more, come back to me. We had sent one of our young lights to teach in Vienna. He had come back with a message that there are a few Bachrim who would be soon coming to the yeshiva, who would want to come to yeshiva. And the problem was that at the time yeshiva didn't have any room. So he went and he spoke to Rabbi Neuberger about his trip that morning. And throughout the discussions, he told him about the situation of the families in Vienna, the Persian families. The horrible living situations that they were in. The meeting was called for that night in Rabbi Neuberger's house. So we were there with the Hanhala, and everybody came up with an idea of where we're going to put these boys, maybe in this institution, maybe in this yeshiva, maybe we'll send them here, we'll send them there. At the end, the boys ended up staying here. But when we got to Rabbi Neuberger's house, he was in bed. It was 8 o'clock in the evening. So Rabbi Reuven Chaver asked him, are you feeling well? Is everything okay? Rabbi Neuberger said, you should know from this morning that I spoke to that young light about the situation of people in Vienna, I've been sick. Who doesn't remember of those times that he used to walk over in the middle of Chazaras Musaf on Shabbos from here to the Pnei Beis Medrash to come wash the hands of the Kohanim, of all Bachurim who were going to Duchan, and stand there for the bracha and then give us some Divrei Chizuk? Do you know what it makes you feel like? Here he is, Rabbi Neuberger. He is the one who is running this whole operation here. And he comes over to wash your hands. Do you know what a chashivus it gives to a bacher? There is so much to say. But ma'delev choshek has a man oshek. Yes, I'm representing tonight our ancestors, whom because of their zechus, the zechus Abu Sam Mesayatam, Rabbi Neuberger was sent our way. Somebody who was ready to say, Alai Lehakim. In a sense, our ancestors, they entrusted the future of our Persian community, like a child, to the hands of Rabbi Neuberger. In a sense, they asked him to make sure that its flame of Torah and Yiddishkeit should not extinguish. And Rabbi Neuberger, seeking the help of the late Rosh HaYeshiva Zichron Livracha, and Lehavdil the Hanhala of the Yeshiva, Lehavdil Lechaim Lechaim, he seeks their help to raise that child, Leshem Ultiferes. And in that way, they too became our ancestors. It is to this light that I think it's wrong for our whole kehila of Persian Jewry to stand up and scream, Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael Uparashav. Rabbi Neuberger, literally, Rechev Yisrael Uparashav, Avi, Avi. And to call upon him, that Avi Avi, stand, Lifnei Kisa HaKavod, together with all the Rashi Yeshiva, Zichronam Livracha, together with our ancestors, and daven, for our success, for our growth. Daven, for the Siyata Dishmaya, that we should be able to continue what you have initiated. Daven, for the Kana Asher Nata Yaminecha, for this beautiful, beautiful, magnificent Makom Torah that you provided for us. The Alben Imat Taloch, and for that child that you held on to so strongly. Ashreinu Shezachinu Lekach. Ashrecha Rabbi Neuberger, that you saw and you shed nachas from the Torah that you brought to our communities here. You saw and you shed nachas from the Talmidei Chachamim that you provided and you produced in our Kehida. Ashrech Yeshivas Nev Yisrael for having the zechus to be the mother, to be the aim, who nurtures and oversees the growth of this child. Oy lanu, that this child lost his fathers. The late Rosh HaYeshiva, first Rav Uderman Zichron Livracha, then Rav Weinberg Zichron Livracha, then Rav Klesi Zichron Livracha, and now, Rabbi Neuberger, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Our community, this child, lost his fathers in such young age. of 20-some years since the revolution. When he has so much to grow, when he has yet so much to achieve and so much to accomplish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that his zechus and the zechus of our Rashi Yeshiva and our ancestors help us to carry on and to build and to build and to build and yet continue to build what Rabbi Neuberger envisioned and what he initiated. Yehi Zichro Baruch.
Rabbi Yisachar French, Lita.
Rishustar Shivish, Chavi Anhola, Maronim Rabbanim Rabbeisai. It is said that every person writes a Masechta in his lifetime. Rabbi Neuberger wrote an enormous Masechta. A Masechta with many prokim. I dare say that there is no single person that knows this entire Masechta. And even his own children, who he loved so dearly, and that they loved him so dearly, probably don't know the entire Masechta. And that's because one of the words that comes to mind when you think about Rabbi Neuberger is the word Sanua. He always did things so quietly, behind the scenes. Nobody knew about them. And he didn't talk about them either. And that's another word that comes to mind. Shtika. Rabbi Neuberger was a chacham, and he lived by the maxim of siyog l'chokhmah shtika. So how could his own children know everything? There were so many issues. There were so many people. There were so many cases. There were so many phone calls. And he was not the one to come and discuss what his day was like at the supper table. What are the other words that come to your mind when you think about Rabbi Neuberger? I'm sure everybody in this room that knew him has their own list. Here are some of the words that are on my list. Not the entire list, but some of the words that I associate with Rabbi Neuberger. Tireless, indefatigable, driven, come immediately to mind. I often wondered what drove him, why he seemed to have more energy than people that were half his age. I once remember reading the Hesped that Rashmul Razovsky said on the Ponevcharov. And I think that it applies to Rabbi Neuberger as well. Because in certain ways, Rabbi Neuberger was like the Ponevcharov. They both built Mekemes HaTeira. They both were prolific fundraisers. They were both world travelers. They were people that knew how to talk to people from various backgrounds. And they were both tireless. The Medrash says at the end of Sefer Dvarim, an enigmatic Medrash, Noyach Amar L'Meisha, Ani Gadol Mimcha, Sheni Tzalti Midor HaMabul. Noyach said to Meisha Rabbeinu, I'm greater than you because I was saved from the Dor HaMabul and no one else was. I'm greater than you. You because you saved yourself, Nayach, but you didn't save your door. Aval ani hitzalti es atzmi v'hitzalti es dairi kishin ischaivu klia be'egel. Because I saved not only myself, but I saved my generation at the Maisa Ha'egel. Zot ha-medrish mashal ha-mohadavar daime to two ships that were lost at sea with two captains and one ship. The captain saved himself, but didn't save his ship. And the other captain saved himself and saved his ship. Lemi hayu mekalsin, who was worthy of praise, loy loy say shehitzel es atzmai v'esavinasai. The captain saved his ship and saved himself. Kach noyach loy hitzel es atzmai. Noyach only saved himself. Aval Moshe hitzel es atzmai v'esdairai Moshe Rabbeinu saved himself and saved his generation. Hoy v'at olis al kulana. Hatar Shmuel Rezovsky gesagt that what drove the Ponovitcherov, it was this thought that constantly haunted him, that they shouldn't say on me, es atzmi hitzil v'esdairi lahitzil. And perhaps that is part of what drove Rabbi Neuberger, that they shouldn't say on him, es atzmai hitzil v'esdairi lahitzil. And that is why, after World War II, he brought Bochum from the DP camps scattered around Europe. It is that why that drove him to make the Iranian program to save that country. It is why this yeshiva has camps for South American kids in the summer, that maybe one or two of them will be mitzvah, the Yud Muslim Asian, go back and save their continent as well. And now, in Shamayim, they're saying to on Rabbi Neuberger, Es Asmai Hitzil, the Gamas Dairai Hitzil. He saved himself, but he saved his door. Hoi! Vat Alis Al Kulana. Another word. Achrayus. I honestly don't think that the man was capable of giving a speech without saying the word Achrayus. Whether it was a Kiddush, whether it was a Bar Mitzvah, whether it was a Shever Brachas, but somehow or another he always came back to that same word. Achrayus. Responsibility to Klal Yisrael. And that is why perhaps he was so successful in helping to build this yeshiva. Because he was a Mishunetikir Baal Achrayus. He was an unbelievable Baal Achrayus. And if there's one ingredient that's necessary to build a yeshiva, it is a sense of Achrayus. The Pasuk tells us that before Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, that's Yehuda Sholach Lefanav, El Yosef Lahairais Lefanav Goishna. He sent Yehuda down to Mitzrayim, Zokrashi, Medrish Agada, Lahairais Lefanav, Lesakin Le Beis HaTalmud, Shemisham Teitze Hayra. He sent down Yehuda to Mitzrayim to make a yeshiva. Vechtech the Kasha. Why Yehuda? Why not Levi? Why not Shevet Yisachar, the Shvatim that are associated with Taira? The answer is, because to buy in a yeshiva, you need a Yehuda. Because it is Yehuda that said, Anochi Ervenu! Ich nehme Achrayus! I don't take responsibility. And therefore, it's Yehuda that built the yeshiva. And therefore, it's Rabbi Neuberger who helped build this magnificent Makom Torah. that is the achroi that helps build the yeshiva. I remember within this last year that I was invited one Friday night to Rabbi Yitzchak's house. Rabbi Yitzchak, who lovingly took care of his father over these last years, together with about 15 other bachram. And Rabbi Neuberger sat there through the meal, and he didn't say very much. The truth of the matter is that he didn't talk a lot at meals. But certainly at this stage of his life, he barely said anything. And then towards the end of the meal, Yitzchak asked his father and said, "Do you want to say something?" And he said the same thing that I had been hearing him saying for the more than 40 years. That you had to live in a country called America, that you can practice your religion freely, that this is such an opportunity to tu'uf, and you have an achrayus to tu'uf. But there was something particularly poignant about that speech, because this wasn't a rehearsed speech. It wasn't calculated. This was the unvarnished essence of Rabbi Neuberger. And his essence was achrayus. Do something for Klal Yisrael. And because he was such a Baal achrayus, he sweated the details, which is unusual. Because usually when you have a person that's a big picture person, he's not a detail person. And detail people are not big picture people. But with Rabbi Neuberger, it wasn't finished until the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted. Someone told me, who came to be Menachem Ovo, that he once started a shul in one of the outlying communities here, and he went to Rabbi Neuberger for guidance how to do it and how to go about it. And when it finally came time for him to open the shul, Rabbi Neuberger went with him to the bank to fill out the forms of what kind of organization you should structure. And the guy couldn't believe it. Does he have nothing better to do with his time than go to a bank and to fill out forms? But he was the Baal Achrayus. The Baal Achrayus sees that everything has to fit. But Simcha Zisel, the Chevan Rashiva, says an interesting Ha'ara in this week's Parsha. Why was it that necessary for Noach to send out the birds to see Hakalu Hamayim, to send out the Orev and the Yaina? He wasn't going to leave the Tev until the Ribbono Shel Olam told him to. So what's the point of sending out the birds? So Simcha Zisel says an unbelievable thing. Because Noach was the only person in the history of humanity that was achroi for the entire world. I had to take care of the entire world. And as such, Noach felt this unbelievable burden of achrayus to see to it that when I'm finally going to go ahead and release him, I have to see to it with my own eyes that the animals can survive. Kach tivei shel Baal ha-achrayus, writes from Simcha Zisel. That's what a Baal ha-achrayus does. Lidoig al gamash loy masur loy. Don't leave it to somebody else. Do it yourself. Go to the bank. Hold the person by the hand. You see, a person wants to go into the insurance business, sit down with him and show him how to read the charts. You have a bachur in the yeshiva that stutters. You take him to the doctor so he won't have a speech impediment. He goes himself. The man has the achrayus of the world himself. He has to sit in the doctor's office so this guy won't stutter. But he's the achray. He's the responsible one. The kach tivei shel Baal ha-achrayus. And that's the nature of a balafrais. And the analogy to Yehuda led me to another comparison to one of the Shvatim. Rav Tam once said an interesting ha'ara. There are two qualities that the Torah mentions in connection with Yosef HaTzadik. V'hayi Hashem es Yosef, v'hayi ish matzliach. And the other pasuk says, v'yeru ish el achiv, el echiv, hine bal hachalaymes halozebo. The Torah calls Yosef an ish matzliach, and calls Yosef a bal hachalaymes. It calls Yosef a dreamer, and it calls him a successful person. Rav Tam said that usually people that are dreamers, but they're not practical. Their dreams remain just that, pipe dreams. And the people that are practical, that are pragmatic, they don't dream, because it can't happen. It won't work. Yosef was the Bala Chalaimais. But he was the Ish Matzliach. And Rabbi Neuberger, together with the Rosh Yeshivas Hatzal, was a dreamer. Look around this campus. Look at the picture of what this place, what this ground looked like more than 30 years ago. It was a cornfield. Who would have ever imagined that this can be built? He was a dreamer. But you're sitting in a building together with hundreds of people, with a little town called Yeshiva Lane. He was a Bala Chalaimis, but he was an Ish Matzliach. When this base medrash was being built, I remember walking with someone when the entire base medrash and Kailal fit into the Mechina base medrash. And the person commented to me, this building that was under construction, you see that? That's Rabbi Neuberger's white elephant. They'll never fill it. It's going to remain empty. Because there's no way they're ever going to fill this place. And today, it's hard to get a seat. He was the Bala Chalaimis, and he was the Ish Matzliach. Another word, father. I can't tell you how many times from how many people, and I include myself in that group, that said, he was like a father to me. He may have had five biological sons, but there are hundreds, if not thousands, of Talmidim that say he was like a father. Because a father is someone that cares about you. A father is someone that cares about your life. Father is someone that cares about your parnosa. Father cares about how you're doing. Rabbi Neuberger would do the same. If you were in business, he'd ask you, so how's your business going? He'd want to know the details. If you were a professional, he'd ask you how your practice is going, and he'd want to know all that went on. A father is someone that you trust. A father is someone that you go to when you have a life's shiloh. Like my wife and I did on numerous occasions. A father is someone that you trust to put your needs first before him, who's going to give advice on what's good for you and not for him. A father is someone when you go to when you're in trouble. And how many people came to them when they were in trouble, when they were in trouble with the law, when they were in trouble because of their failing marriages, I saw a letter that one Talmud wrote to the family during Shiva. He unselfishly spent hours with me when I was trying to save my marriage. He took out time out from his busy schedule and met me in a New York hotel room and made your mother wait and wait in another room, trying to do what he felt was best for me. I'll never forget it. When you don't know where to turn, who do you call? You call your father, or you call Rabbi Neuberger. Several years ago, a Talmud called me from Sinai Hospital. He had come home from, and he was playing with his little infant son. And somehow or another, the child's leg got twisted under him, and the leg got fractured. They rushed the child to the hospital. The child had to have surgery, which was traumatic enough. But this type of break, this type of injury, is an injury that's associated with child abuse. And social services wanted to take away the baby from the parents. And the father called me, and I got to the hospital. The mother was hysterical, and the father wasn't in much better shape. What should we do? They want to take away our baby. I had no idea. I was out of my depth. What did I do? I called Rabbi Neuberger. He told me, have him get in touch with this lawyer, which they did. And within a day, the crisis was resolved. As I ask myself, and I don't know the answer, who am I going to call now? When you're in trouble, who are you going to call? Who are you going to call? What's the answer to that question? A father is someone you go to when you need money. And how much of his own money did he give to people who are down on their luck? I once went with Rabbi Neuberger to a breakfast meeting on behalf of the yeshiva in Muncie, New York. And a fellow comes up to me, I don't remember who he is. And he says to me, there was a tkufa that I needed money, and I needed a lot of money, I needed it quickly. Rabbi Neuberger wrote me a check. He says, I'm lending it to you. When you get back on your feet, you can pay it back to me. Now we came to the parlor meeting, and he wanted to repay it. Rabbi Neuberger didn't take it. He gave a check to the yeshiva. And that's why so many people called him like a father. Another word, Rebbe. Yeah, Rebbe. How many executive directors of yeshivas, quote, money men, do Talmidim refer to as Rebbe? But there are hundreds and hundreds of Talmidim, up to the day that he died, refer to him as Rebbe. Because he may not have taught them a Tesis or a Kiveger, or a Shach. But you need a Rebbe for something called life. And he was a Goyen Olam in Chochmas HaChaim. Listen to a letter from a Reish Kail, started a Talmud of the Yeshiva. He taught us how to think through issues ourselves and guided us so we would arrive at the conclusion he had already known from the start. He took the time to be our mentor and to teach us how to approach the issues ourselves. When people come sometimes and ask me for an Eitzah, I try to think, what would Rabbi Neuberger say? Just like when things happen, I try to ask myself, what would the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal say? How would Rav Weinberg Zatzal react? People are sitting in front of me. What would he tell them? Ehrlichkeit. Integrity. Those are two other words that pop up immediately. For the 70 plus years that this yeshiva is in existence, there has never been a whiff of impropriety or scandal. And that is an environment and in a general society that one can make the case that the ends justify the means. In an environment and a society that everyone says, but everybody does it. In an environment that the word playing shtick is part of the lexicon. But not here. Not Rabbi Neuberger. And as Rav Beryl mentioned, he wasn't merely satisfied to protect Ner Yisrael. He created an organization called ARTS because he knew that if the yeshivas were caught doing things that were illegal or dishonest, it would be a meshunidik, a horrible chilul Hashem. And therefore he created ARTS so that there be standards and procedures by which to operate. He treated the money of the yeshiva like the mammon hegdish that it was. And he guarded it judiciously. Rabbi Hakakian already mentioned how he used to go through the buildings, up the three floors of the Ed building. So many times he would pick me up as I was walking to Meyer, and when we'd turn and the Ed building would come into sight and it would be lit up like the 4th of July, he'd demand, why are those lights on? And woe to the bacher who's sitting in one of the classrooms and the entire hall is lit up. And he says to him, why didn't you turn off the lights? Because it was mum and hegdish. Somebody told me that he went with Rabbi Neuberger once to Washington, D.C. and they get to the train station and this person buys a trick ticket for the Metroliner. It costs $26. Rabbi Neuberger comes to the counter and he says, I want to take the Mark Local. And here's my senior citizen discount. And I only have to pay $3.50. And he says to fellow sister Rabbi Neuberger, but Rabbi Neuberger, it takes much longer. I should pay $26 of the yeshiva's money when I can travel for $3.50? He wouldn't go on the metro line until the other person picked up the difference in the fare. Another word. Telephone. The ubiquitous telephone. Anyone who sat in his office was amazed by the amount of calls, the variety of subjects, the diversity of callers, socially, economically, religiously, calls from all over the world seeking advice. And no one that I ever met knew how to use a telephone better and quicker than Rabbi Neuberger. He played a telephone like a Stradivarius. A bacher would call once taking Rabbi Neuberger up to the mountains before the cell phone days. And the bacher writes that it seems that Rabbi Neuberger made him stop at every other gas station, so he can go out and use the payphone, so he could call the office and see what's new, or keep in contact with the issues that he was dealing with. And finally, one last word. The word is tzir. What does tzir mean? And what does it have to do with Rabbi Neuberger? The word tzir is used twice in Tanakh to connote a faithful shliach on a mission. The pasuk says regarding Avadya Hanavi, the tzir bagoyim shulach. And the word tzir is used to describe the shliach and the manhig par excellence, Moshe Rabbeinu. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei, Malach Rosha Yipol Barah, Vitzir Emunim Marpe. Vitzir Emunim, the faithful Shliach, Zot Rashi Vitzir Emunim Marpe, the Meshur Abenu. What does the word seer, which normally means a hinge, have to do with being a shliach? Perhaps to be a shliach, you have to act like a tzir. You have to act like a hinge. Because you may come into a beautiful building and you may notice a magnificent door. And maybe once in a while you'll notice the doorpost. But rarely, if ever, will you notice the hinge. Even though without the hinge, the door wouldn't work. The consummate shlucha derachmana, the quintessential shliach of HaDibayni Shloilam, Moshe Rabbeinu, was mevatel himself to his shlichus, to the Ribbono Shloim, like a hinge that seemingly you don't even notice, that it's not even there. Moshe Rabbeinu is the true, the tzir emunim, the faithful shliach. Rabbi Neuberger was a tzir emunim. He was a faithful shliach. A faithful shliach of the Ribbono Shloim in the mission which he believed he was given. He was a faithful shliach to the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal in bringing to fruition this Mokom Torah and this flourishing institution. And he did it with the most thankless job that exists in the walls of a yeshiva. He was a fundraiser. There is no more sometimes depressing, demeaning, humiliation-filled job than to be a fundraiser. There is a yid today that is a fundraiser for another institution, another yeshiva, a big yeshiva. And he asked Rabbi Neuberger, how do you do it? How do you put up with the bizyonis, the humiliations, the nose to get out of my office? How do you do it? Rabbi Neuberger told him over a word that he heard from the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal. And that is that to the untutored and the unlettered, if you look at how the Kayin Gadol does the Avedis Yom HaKippurim on Yom Kippur, you look at that job as undignified, as menial, as almost gross. The Shechita, the Zrika, the Kabbalah, the hand, Yodai, Yadayim, Malayim, Dam. What could be more disgusting than the Kayin Gadol on Yom Kippur? But that's to the untutored. But to those that know, they know that in those bloody hands rests the future of Klal Yisrael. That the Slicha, Mechil, and Kapora are going to be totally in those bloody hands. And that's the work of a fundraiser. Everyone looks at it maybe like a mashiach. But in those hands lies the future of Klal Yisrael. And when that same fundraiser asked Rabbi Neuberger, there's such a dearth of fundraisers in yeshivas, why don't you help start a course to teach people how to raise money? Rabbi Neuberger answered him and revealed his essence. And he told him that what is required to be a fundraiser is an idealistic desire to work for Torah and the willingness to be Meiser Nefesh for that ideal, and you cannot teach that in a course. He was the faithful shliach for so many tzorchei tzibur, and he was willing to be mevatel himself and to be self-effacing and to be the true anav. He lived by the ideal that there is no limit to what one can accomplish if it's not important who gets the credit. And in this, he was the personification of his original namesake. Naftali was the Naftali Ayola Shlucha. He was the Emes Shliach Hashem, the Shlucha Derachmana, and the Shlucha Derabbana. I once read another insight into Tzir, because it hinged on something else, and that is, it unites the door to its doorpost. And that's why the Shliach Hashem has to be the Tzir. He has to be the uniter. And that's what he was. He tried to keep the peace in communities, among families, among Meistus. He was the Tzir. He was the uniter. And finally, one last connotation to the word seer. Seer in a totally different context. Seer in the context that we're probably most familiar with. And that is the seer that we say on the last kina of Tisha B'Av. Eli Tziyain Va'areha Kama Yisha Batsireha. Cry out, Tziyain and your cities. Cry out, the inhabitants of Tziyain, like a woman who cries out during the pain and travail of childbirth. And this was also a function of his in his role as Manik. To empathize with people's plights, to feel their pain. And this was perhaps the most hidden of Rabbi Neuberger's midos. That's why he would move heaven and earth to make sure that an aguna received her get. That's why he would pull out all stops for an almana. That's why he lost sleep worrying about people. Because the tzir must relate to the tsar of his people. And that is why I always found Rabbi Neuberger's Elit Tziyon on Tisha B'Av so moving. Because he embodied that pain that we're supposed to feel for Klal Yisrael. And he was the right person to sing in his voice that we all recall, the last kina on Tisha B'Av. Elitzion Ba'areha Kmo Isha B'tzireha. Rabbi Neuberger, for the 42 years that I have been here, he ushered in Rosh Hashanah. He ushered in Rosh Hashanah every single year. And during this last Elul, I wondered, would he daven Ma'ariv? He couldn't stand on his feet for so long. Would this be the year that he didn't daven Ma'ariv? But somehow he did it. He davened Ma'ariv. He stood up for Ma'ariv. And he stood up for the entire line of Bochum that went by to wish Lashana Teva. A total of an hour. And I went up to Rabbi Neuberger after Ma'ariv, as I'm sure so many others did. I said, Rabbi Neuberger, Mirtz Hashem, next year, shall start Ma'ariv. But it's not to be. He won't daven Ma'ariv anymore. Nor will he ever say again, Elitzion Ba'areha Kmo Isha B'tzireha. And if there is a Tisha B'Av this year, and we get to Elitzion, and we won't hear him sing it, but we will be comforted by the fact that he's going to be a good to better for this yeshiva, for this Klal Yisrael, whose pain was real to him. He should be a good to better that we will never ever have to say again, Elitzion Ba'areha Kmo Isha B'tzireha. Ubilah hamavas la netzach, umoch Hashem latim timon al kopanim.